Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Now, this book I have in my hand is called Braids Take a Day. It's the title of the debut novel by my next guest, because as well as being a writer, she's also a broadcaster. When she was just 20, she joined RTE, becoming the first black person to work in the newsroom. She's best known for her work as a presenter on Nationwide. Zainab Boladel, you're very welcome.
Thank you.
Congratulations on the book.
Thank you so much.
Written for young adults, but I'm not a young adult and I'm enjoying it every night.
So I'm glad to hear that.
It's great. What prompted you to write your first novel?
Well, it's always been something I've wanted to do ever since I was young. I've always just loved stories, reading in my local library in Ennis. So for me, it was always a thing of I'd love to be the person writing the stories one day, because I don't know, for me, it just was really... I felt like the world was opening up to the stories I was reading. So I knew I wanted to kind of give that back to young adults when I grew up.
And it's not autobiographical, but some of the details I feel might be based around your life. I'm wondering whether I'm getting insights into your life as I'm reading it.
So it's very interesting, because when I started writing, it was a little bit different to what that is. But I was thinking, I also want to put in elements of what I know when I was a teenager, basically. And I was really worried that a lot of people think, oh, is this about you? It's actually very far-fetched from my experiences as a teenager. But there were still elements that I still felt like all teenagers could relate to. I don't know if that makes sense. So for example, the teenagers go, for me when I was younger, it was like the height of the summer, and I got to go a couple of times, which was really enjoyable. But I wanted to bring it from a perspective of maybe a teen who felt a bit too young to go, because sometimes you feel like that fear pushes a teen to be cool and to do things all the other teens are doing, but there are also teens that may be awkward or shy and not get to do those type of things.
Yeah, and I love how you describe that so well. You know, her first time to go to that disco, and everybody else is used to it. Most people are familiar with it, and she's just awkward. Feels awkward, you know. And everybody knows what that feels like.
Yeah.
Hair. It's called Braids Take a Day, and hair and its relationship to identity is a theme of the book. But you deal with it in a very gentle way when you're explaining to some people why it might not be appropriate to have cornrows, for example.
Yeah, so for me, I didn't want the book to come across as preachy. I wanted whoever was reading it to be able to learn, first of all, but also to appreciate black hair, because for me, like, I love getting my hair done. It's one of my favorite things to do every month. And it does take a lot of time, and it's a lot of dedication. But I also wanted people to understand that there's so much education to be had around hair, and I think sometimes it can be intimidating to learn about it. And I also felt for that age group, it's just to make them think a bit more about maybe some of their classmates who might have different types of hair, or kind of like how not sensitive of a topic, but more how intimidating of a topic it can be to broach. But I wanted them to also have a little bit of insight of how to have conversations around hair of different types.
Yeah, you didn't want the book to be a story about racism either.
No.
Why did you make that very conscious decision, Zainab?
I think the reality of life can be very heavy sometimes. So I wanted it to be an escape for teenagers, especially teenagers from minority backgrounds. Because I think sometimes when you read stuff that's about the life that you're experiencing, you don't get that kind of like escape from the things that you know. So while there is touches of microaggression in there, and there is touches of like discussions around class and the different types of experiences we receive from society, I wanted people to see it from a different perspective. So I highlight more the differences around class than around race. So while Abby Demi does kind of like struggle to find hair care for herself in her town, I want it to be kind of like it's more lack of awareness or lack of people knowing that, you know, these resources are needed in smaller rural areas. And not really it being about racism.
Yeah, because we see how her friend Sinead is treated because of her family background and her mother has a laundrette, and that leads to some people treating her differently as well.
Yeah.
And that's given equal prominence in the book.
Yeah, because I think a lot of the times when people think discrimination, they immediately go to race, but discrimination can rear its head in different ways. Mm-hmm. So I felt like... one way that people can understand it more was about the class difference between, and it's only a very slight class difference, but it's a very real class difference that can happen in classrooms. So I felt like on that, first of all, I felt most teenagers can understand that, and then they might be able to also spot those little microaggressions that are in that book.
Yeah, microaggressions. I mean, that's one way to describe it. But I'm thinking back to your own experience. You've been on screen since you were 20. I mean, yeah. A baby when you were catapulted onto the national stage. And then it emerged that you had experienced not microaggressions, really horrible and overt racism. How was that for you? Because I remember you speaking out about that. And I get the sense it wasn't easy for you to do.
No, it wasn't easy. And it wasn't even intentional that I spoke up about it. So at the time, I was really young. And my biggest concern was, oh my God, if I speak about this, people will think, oh, here comes the black presenter talking about experiencing racism, which was the case. But I just didn't want that to be my story at the time. So when I did speak out, it was out of frustration and just being fed up with the stuff I was seeing online. And it was a Sunday night. I'd made a couple of tweets, wasn't expecting it to go as viral as it did. And immediately I just felt panicked that, oh my God, people are going to see this and this is going to be the headlines. And it ended up being the headlines. So when I came in on Monday, my biggest fear was not about the fact that I just kind of revealed that this was happening in the background. My biggest fear was, oh my God, am I going to be fired?
No. I know that people in the newsroom and managers and so on, because I was there at the time as I was presenting the news at one, were very supportive to you. And I hope that was a help to you. But how fearful were you when all of that was going on? Because online is one thing, but it can be scary if you know that people feel that way about you as you go about your job.
You know what? At the time, I didn't think of it as people felt that way about me. I knew that these are people who wanted to troll me and make me feel bad, et cetera, et cetera. I didn't take it for like, this is what like is reflective of the general public opinion of me. I knew this was like a little bit of a growing group at the time anyway. But it didn't make it any easier because what for me at the time I was second guessing was my skills and my ability or like my likability. So it was less about like me thinking, do people think about this about me general? But it was more so about me thinking, does this affect the way I work or does this make me any less of a journalist or any less of a professional?
Are things any better now?
I think I'm much better at ignoring things. I think directly things are way better. I don't think there's nothing online that I've seen, but I also think I've also learned to protect myself on social media.
It's a really important thing to do.
I've definitely put up different just limitations in how I kind of interact on social media. So I think for myself, that's not happening anymore. But I do know that for others, it's still there. It's still online.
Of course. Yeah. And I know you've been very open always about your sexuality, but you were concerned at the time that the online trolling would start to include that.
It was more so I was like, another thing they'll have on me. The thing is, I've never been quiet about my sexuality. Like, it's always been there. But for me, it was like, this is just another thing they might find a reason to increase their hatred of me, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. But naturally, people found out regardless, because again, it's all out there. I don't really hide much about myself. I'm very upfront and honest. But I think, funnily enough, racism was still the biggest issue I was dealing with as opposed to homophobia. So it's interesting.
It is interesting. And as you said, you were honest with yourself, with your friends about being gay from a very young age. But when it comes to being open with your family, Zainab, things are a little more difficult.
Well, with my family, they're from a very religious background. Nigeria is a very religious country. And at present, it's 14 years in jail if you are publicly gay. And even though there's a lot of people who are gay in their social settings, you wouldn't say it publicly. It's just kind of like, we know, but we're not going to address it. We're not going to put a name to it. We don't want to know how you live your life behind closed doors. So that's kind of like the societal context that like my family have grown up with. So when I came out, it was more so like, we don't really understand. Like, so it was kind of that thing as growing up, it was kind of difficult trying to navigate that conversation. But I'm now at a stage where I'm kind of like, you know what, I have done the work to say who I am. And it's up to you whether or not you want to educate yourself.
Yeah. So you seem to have found an accommodation.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Is that fair to say?
That's the best way to put it.
So listen, the ambition for you, because you've the broadcasting and now you're an author, which is lovely to add. You're also a filmmaker, aren't you?
Oh, geez, on a shoestring budget.
It's all right. It's still a film.
Well, what it was I love storytelling in all its forms, and like, be it journalism, be it like through writing short films, be it through writing short stories, be it through being an author, I love storytelling in all its forms. And for me, I wanted to bring out the theme of queerness in the Black queer community in Ireland to that short film Worthy. So Worthy is about a young woman who's considering her worth after dealing with a breakup, her first breakup, her first love. So Worthy was made on a shoestring budget with a team of people in the creative space that I knew would be willing to work with me. And we did it kind of very collaboratively. I like got in touch with the camera people and they were happy to work with me on that. But what I really enjoyed about it was it put at the forefront the Black queer community in Ireland. Mm-hmm. And that was something that was really important for me outside of the story, to kind of have it screen at Gaze Film Festival as well as Queer Spectrum Film Festival. That just made me really happy.
Okay, we have people getting in touch saying they love you on Nationwide. You should be on even more, says this listener, and you have a wonderful way of presenting. And I know that you do a lot on social media as well, which we've touched on. So yeah. How does that fit with the traditional broadcasting through the medium of television? Do you make it work? Does it work together?
For me, it's very important for me to be myself in every single setting that I'm in. And at the start, when I was using my social media in the way I normally use my social media, I was kind of conscious, like in terms of looking at the way other professional journalists use social media. But I just kind of settled in a place where I am young, and it would be strange for me to not do things that young people do. And that is using social media in a way that I feel comfortable with and not trying to replicate it because I feel like it needs to fall in a space of purely professionalism. Mm-hmm. So that's the way I kind of embark my social media. I keep it safe and clean, but I still have fun with it, and I'm still myself on
there.
And
is it journalistically useful for you?
I think yes, because I think for a lot of young journalists looking at my social media, they realize they don't need to let go of their personality to still be themselves and to be still taken seriously. Because I get a lot of young people who are in college that will reach out to me through my social media and ask me questions about getting into the industry, et cetera, et cetera.
It's really useful.
It's really useful because I get to connect to younger people.
Well, Zainab, your book is a great read. Really, really enjoyable read. It's called Braids Take a Day by Zainab Boladale. And may I say, you're exactly what RTE needs. Thank you so much for being with us today, and the best of luck with the book. We have reached the end of the programme today. Thank you very much for joining us. Remember, you can catch up on anything that you might have missed on the RTE player, on the RTE radio app rather. The programme was produced today by Emma McNamara, research by AB Philpin Bowman. Our broadcast coordinator is Jarlath Holland, and Harry Bucklis was on sound today. Let's head over to Louise.